Erev Tov, Parshas Vayechi. This week's parsha starts with, says the pasuk, opening pasuk of the parsha. Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim, shva asrei shana vayi yemei Yaakov shnei chayav sheva shanim v'arba ma'ashana. So it starts. The pasuk says, right, Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim. He moved down there. And the first Rashi on this week's parsha says, Vayechi Yaakov. Says Rashi, Lama parsha zu stuma. Why is this week's? Why is this parsha? It's a closed parsha. What does it mean? It's a closed parsha. What's pshat in parsha stuma? The pshat is right. What do we say? Exactly. It starts in the middle. There's usually some type of hefsek. There's some type of hefsek between the psukim of at least 9 spaces. So there's no gap. There's no space between parshas Vayigash and parshas Vayechi. But the question is why? Asks Rashi. Says Rashi, Lefi shekeven shenifter Yaakov Avinu nistemu einehem v'libam shel Yisrael mitzaras hashibud she'esilu v'shabda. What exactly happened? Since the moment Yaakov died, their eyes were closed and their hearts were shut. Because why? This was the beginning of the Shibud. This was the beginning of the exile, the beginning of the Golus that B'nai Yisrael was going to endure over the next 210 years. So the obvious question is that this is not true. At this point, the Golus does not start yet. We all know it's not going to be until next week. We get to Bez Hashem Parsha Shmos. That's when Paro starts to enslave all the Jews. Right? We only the real Shibud in Mitzrayim started after all of the Shvatim ended up dying. So why is Rashi over here saying that what? That now the moment in which Yaakov died, all of a sudden, it's closed. All these gates to Shemayim are now closed. Their hearts are now shut. Their eyes are now shut. What exactly is pshat? So in Teretz, that's well known, is brought down right by Revolvi. Revolvi was one of the greater mashkichim in Klal Yisrael, was tremendous Gadol B'Torah, massive Tamachachim. He was nifter about 10 to 12 years ago. Rav Ezra Shapiro from Shabbat Mashkiach was very very close with him and uses a lot of his ideas in the Shmuzin based off of the ideas from Revolvi. So Revolvi explains as follows: is that Rabosai, the Shibud that's going on here, a good way to say the beginning of the slavery in which B'nai Yisrael, apparently it started at this time, was not the Shibud, was not the slavery which we all think about. We're talking about, you know, the slavery of building the bricks and doing the back-breaking labor day in and day out for 210 years. Exactly. Mamash nachon ma'od. We're talking about what? The Shibud Ruchani. We're talking about, it's a spiritual Shibud. Almost that sort of became closed. That sort of became satum. That sort of became shut. Just like their hearts were now closed away after Yaakov Avinu's death. Their hearts were closed away from growths and ruchnius, and their eyes also became shut from what? Seeing actual ruchnius things. And what happened? At that time, once their hearts and their eyes were no longer exposed and had access to Ruchnius, that was the start of the assimilation and the giving in to Egyptian culture at that time. And that's exactly what is the pshat of all of a sudden when Yaakov's life was over, all of a sudden everything was closed. Everything was shut. It was on. We're moving on to a new chapter. There was a close of a chapter of Ruchnius, and we're moving on to another chapter of the Golus. Nowadays, also we sort of have that. It happens a lot more in Chutz Laaretz than it does in Eretz Yisrael. Is again that the fact is, whether you can take this as an Aliyah push or not, but the point is that the less exposed we are to Ruchnius, the more easier it is. Almost to be reeled in. It's already to be roped in in terms of secular culture, Tarbut Chiloni. Happens every we end up losing our spiritual guard. That's exactly what happened to Bnei Yisrael. They lost that shmira. Yaakov gave some type of ruchnia shmira, and they sort of lost that. And that sort of happens with us also now a lot of days. Is that slowly there are more and more gedolei Torah, there are more talmidei chachamim that are being taken from us in this world. They're dying out. And as the generations are moving on and on, you can slowly see as Gedolim are passing away in America, Gedolim are passing away in Eretz Yisrael, and it's harder and it's becoming harder and harder for the tzibur to maintain that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that connection to Ruchnius. And that's exactly just an idea here in terms of guys at least that are here for sure in Eretz Yisrael, whether for a year, 2 years, or this is just a lifelong type of goal or achievement and aim that we should have in our mind, is trying to connect with greatness. Because connecting to greatness will keep you great, and connecting from greatness will keep you out of the mud. This happens all the time in terms of sports. They also like to say, right? In order to be the best, you have to play with the best. You have to train with the best. So too, you want to be a Talmid Chacham, you want to become an Adam Gadol. Even if you just want to just stay connected to Ruchnius, you have to connect with the Gedolei Torah. You have to connect with those that are great. Be person, you know. Even in Lav Dafkin has to be, you know, learning by them for 20 years in one shir. Just being in their Dalet Amos, just being in their presence, just being surrounding them, it can have a total change of effect. I've been zocha to have many charm with many Gedolei Yisrael, both in Eretz Yisrael and in America, and most of those charm Lav Dafkin come from the actual Torah in which I've heard from them. It's just interacting with them on a regular basis, just being within their four amos, just seeing how they conduct their own lives. They're massive talmid chachamim in their own learning, but they're just the most normal human beings out there. And connecting to gedolim will ultimately distance ourselves from assimilation. Assimilation is one of the biggest problems that's going on right now in Jewish society. Eretz Yisrael to a certain extent, but for sure in Chutz La'aretz you have this a lot. The amount I read an article online that I believe the OU did a survey, and apparently over 70% of Jewish people in America have intermarried. 70% intermarried. Total. If you intermarry, there's total loss from affiliation to Jewish society. They assimilate it. It's bolelut. So there's a certain amount of. That's exactly what happened. I mean, for Bnei Yisrael, it wasn't their choice. Obviously they wanted to try to connect to Ruchnius, but they were in Mitzrayim, and slowly but surely it died out. Their ultimate rock, their ultimate source of protection for Ruchnius was Yaakov. And this was the start. And that's what he says, that's the pshat, that's the start of the Sheba to Mitzrayim. The start of the giving in to that secular culture. And slowly but surely, after all the rest of the Shvatim passed away, that's where it ultimately really, really began. It's Ad Kan idea number one, about just trying to connect to greatness. It can have such an effect on you.
In America, you built a nice community. You built a lot of people, Jewish, that lecture every day.
It's beautiful, correct. That's we try that. We've tried. Yes, correct. We tried in America. That's also the pshat. Because in Mitzrayim, we went from like two extremes, and we were coming from living just like, imagine all the shvatim just living in your own you know, gated community, just you shvatim on such a level of ruchnius. You're with Yaakov Avinu and with all the shvatim. Like that was it. Like that was a very, very stark community. That was a very, very, that was a tzibur ma'od mod chazak. But and all of a sudden, what happens? Yaakov dies, and you're right now in the most disgusting place in the world we've been speaking about. Mitzrayim was full of tumah, avodah zarah, gilui arayos, pritzos, any, all the bad things in the Torah. Just think about it and put it on a list. that took place in Mitzrayim. So that's even harder. But you're right, in America, you have Baruch Hashem, people are, they're making communities. And it's, and it, and it's, and it's, we're trying to connect to. There are also a lot of Gedolei Torah in America that people connect to. All over, whether it doesn't matter whether modern Orthodox, ultra Orthodox, there are many Gedolim, each in their own thing. But the problem is sometimes in America there's also a larger amount of secular culture that's going on there. And again, for some people they're able to maintain it, they're able to let up, they're able to hold their guard, as they say. But however, there are others that are unfortunately giving in, and that's a tremendous issue. Okay. Idea number two, let's speak about. Later on in the Parsha, we see that Yaakov, right before he's Nifter, he decides to give brachos. Brachos to all the Shvatim and brachos to each Shevet in particular. And the Shevet in which I want to zoom in, I want to focus in on, is Yisachar. It says the Pasuk Perek Memtes, Pasuk Yedalet. Yisachar chamor garim roveitz bein ha-mishpatim, and it tesva vayar menucha kitov es aretz ki na'ama vayet shichmo lizbol vayid lemas oved. Somehow, Yisachar is compared to chamor, in which he carries a heavy load, and he's also involved with menucha and rest. So, what's going on here? So, Rashi explains that based on the pshat with chamor, what's going on? Chamor bal atzmo sovel ol Torah ke chamor chazak shemitanina oso masa kaved. So what goes? So what? Yisachar is compared to a donkey. That why? That just like a donkey carries a heavy load, and no matter what time of the day it is, if he has to work, when his owner puts the heavy load, when he puts all those bricks on the donkey's back, the donkey's got to perform. The donkey's got to work hard. He's got to sweat it out. Doesn't matter day or night, hot or cold. When there's a load on the donkey's back, there's no other option. He must go to work. He's got to get the job done. So too Yisachar. Yisachar will be zoche to amelus b'torah, to limanat Torah. That no matter what the situation is, no matter what time of the day it is, no matter what time of the year it is, they will always overcome that challenge, and they will be amel b'torah. They will toil for years and years. And then what's the pshat in the next pasuk? Bayar menucha kitov, right? Ra lechalko eretz mevrechas haTorah lo tzia peiros. You have no problem, menucha. What's the obvious question? They'll be relaxed, right? It's an obvious stira and Rashi. Ask Yaakov Mendelsberg. Freck Yaakov Mendelsberg. A stira and Rashi. Then what? How could you say on the one hand that what all of a sudden Yisachar is going to be umbel and umbel? We think about melus. We think of intensity. We think of being really extreme. Learning on a very high quality level, putting in those hours late at night, early in the morning. But Mitzad Sheni, we're talking about Menucha. They were going to be chilling, as they say. They were going to be relaxing. It was going to be peaceful. They were going to have no worries. When you think about Melus, you don't think of relaxing. You think of relaxing, you're nice, ragua. In Hebrew, they call it satlanit, kilu satlanim, nachon. So what's the pshat? How are we miyashiv? How are we going to be miyashiv? The steer between the two rashis. So one thing is just pshat and Rashi. Maybe just for we medayik in the words of Rashi. Rashi says correct. There's going to be a high level of old Torah. There's going to be a lot of amelus b'torah. And there's also again ro lechalko eretz mevrechas v'tova lehotzi peiros. They'll get their own portion of land, and they're going to be able to be motzi peiros. Peiros will come. So the simple pshat is that what? Because of the amelus b'torah, they're not going to have to worry about any parnasa. They're not going to have to worry. It's all going to come. They're just going to focus, and they're going to siyata d'shmaya. It's going to roll. The heavenly assistance is just going to roll in. Oh, see that's what people like to say. That's where the famous idea of the partnership, the shutafut between Yisachar and Zvulun. That I think we see later on only in the Torah. But now we're just speaking about regular pshat. Yisachar's just going to learn, and there's not going to be any problems. There's going to have no worries. The Shari Aaron gives another pshat. Shari Aaron, Rav Aaron Yeshaya Rader from Bnei Brak, a very close time of the Chazon Ish. I believe he's still alive to this very day. He's very old, but he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Aaron Yeshaya Rotter from Bnei Brak. So he explains that yes, there's going to be Amelus, and yes, there's going to be Menucha. To be Menucha, some type of rest. Rather, what's going on? It's going to be a spiritual tranquility. They're going to be relaxed in a very spiritual way. Shalva ruchanit. They'll be able to relax. Why? Because the ultimate spiritual tranquility is when a person is actually steiging and learning. Is when a person is actually growing and putting in the hard work. True, you might from an outside perspective, it might look like you're crazy. It looks like you're very intense. Person's eyes might be looking like he's red in the face because he's up late at night chazering the Ian, chazering the Bikias, day in and day out. But ultimately for the Nefesh, that's the greatest pleasure. That's the most relaxing feeling ever. Rav Nosson Tzvi, he writes. I was learning once with Amy Kupchik. We saw a piece, and he said the Amelus Petorah brings out such menuchas hanefesh. Rav Nosson Tzvi writes, and he was a bachur in yeshiva, and they got up to, and they were learning Maseches Ksubas, and they got up to the most famous daf in Ksubas, daftes. Daftes is a loaded daf, has sugyas from all over Shas. Shalvim, they spend a lot of time in that. And the Mir, they spend 6 weeks. 6 weeks every morning, Seder. On one daf. He said those were the most enjoyable 6 weeks of his life. The most relaxing and entertaining 6 weeks of his life. Why? Because he was having a 4-hour morning Seder. And a 4-afternoon Seder. And a 4-hour night Seder. And learning extra, Benas Darn. You would think, yeah, those are the most intense years of his life. No. The pshat is, he said he was medayik. Enachinami was intense. But it was also enjoyable. It was also fun. It was also relaxing. And that's the pshat of this, with these ideas of we sort of almost see this. This comes up in Pirkei Avos. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav, we find this. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Omer, the Heilige Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, called Mekabel of Ol Torah, whoever's Mekabel upon himself, I'm going to be the Amo B'Torah. Ma'avirin mimenu omachus ve'ol derech eretz. Forgoes everything else. It'll all come to him. It'll all be good for him. You won't have any worries. But only if you're really Amo. And then there's also a third shot. The third shot is brought down by Rav David Cohen Shlita. Rav David Cohen is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chevron Yeshiva in Yerushalayim in HaKodesh. He's one of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael. And he says as follows. The minucha in which Klal Yisrael will have, in which Shemit Yisachar will have, is that they'll be able to realize what the purpose in life is, what their purpose in life is. And their purpose in life is what? Amelus B'Torah. Yes, they're going to be Amel, but what's going to be the ultimate satisfaction is that they're going to realize this. How do we know? Says the Gemara Sanhedrin Sanditesim Advez. Quote, La Amel Torah Nivra. A person was created in this world, why? To be Amel B'Torah. And that's the pshat. When a person is Amel B'Torah, he gets the certain revelation that what? There's a certain fulfillment here in this world. I'm accomplishing something. I am fulfilling my tafkid. I'm fulfilling my role in this world. I'm doing a mission accomplished. That what? That yes, I'm a Ben Torah. And yes, it's working out for me. And yes, I'm fulfilling that which Hashem wants me to do. Which is a very, very important yisod here in Yeshiva. That if a person is willing to put the amelus and the hard work into it, the siyata deshmaya is limitless. A person can go from good to great. A person can go from great to next level. But it's all about the amelus. You find this all over. Right, the famous Rashi, Mechukosai Telechu, right, the Shehu Amelim B'Torah, that's the point. To be Amel in Torah. It's not easy. But that's the Pshat and Amelus, toiling. If you've seen anyone else all over in any other area in life, whether it be in sports or in business, almost always the best ones that make it are usually the ones that are Amel.
Grind.
And what?
Grind.
The grind, exactly. The grind.
A lav dafka is about the results also. It doesn't have to be about the results.
Hard work.
There's a famous yisod. I'll actually share with you. Yeah, I'll share with you this idea from that I was brought down. I heard b'shid l'chametz chayim. At the end of b'siyim, we say anu amelim v'heim amelim. Anu amelim u'mekabim schar v'heim amelim v'heim mekabim schar. We're amel. We work hard. And they also are amel. They also work hard. Those businessmen, those doctors, those NFL players. Anu amelim u'mekabim schar. We're rewarded. The Hema Melim, even Kayim Kabbalah Schar. They don't get Schar. Let me ask you an obvious question. They don't get Schar? Have you seen the hardest working athletes in the world? Have you seen those fat contracts? They're making a lot of money. Doctors, lawyers, they're living comfortable lives. They're living the Yisachar life. They're comfortable. They're successful. They're getting reward. So what's the pshat? Says the Chavetz Chaim, that's not true. Those people, why do they get schar? Not because of the amelus. It's because of the results at the end of the day. LeBron James, lahavdil. It's nice that he works hard. He does those training commercials for Nike. But he gets paid to bring back championships for his basketball team. Jewish people, Yidden, B'nai Torah, don't get reward for finishing Masechtas, for finishing Shas. This is an accomplishment. That's not what we're rewarded for that. We're rewarded directly for the effort that every single person puts in and day out, whether it be at morning seder, afternoon seder, or night seder. Every time, every daf. It's not for the daf that we learned. So it's not for the daf that we finished. It's for the daf that we tried to get a tfisa on. Captured, conquer it. That's what the schar is coming from. So I've got idea number two. Idea number three with the final idea. Let's go back to a different bracha. Yehuda. So what exactly happened was we got up to so Yaakov started dishing out the brachas. And by Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, before he even gave them a bracha, he sort of gave him a shtickle musr. He was upset at the different things they did. Reuven with the Maisa and Bila, Shimon and Levi, how they acted in Shem. So Yehuda is brought down that he was a bit nervous. He distanced himself a little bit from Yaakov because he was afraid of receiving certain rebukes, certain tochacha. For what? What did Yehuda do wrong? Okay, but what directly would he potentially be involved in? What did Yehuda do? Oh, Tamar, the Mises Nus that he was involved with, but he was involved with Tamar. But the truth is, he was fine. He was worried about that, but it actually was all good.
He said it was actually, he didn't really do it very
well. Exactly! That's exactly what happened. Shkoyach again, Yaakov Mendelsberg. So what exactly happened? Says the Pasuk, Yehuda, Ata yoducha achecha yadcha borif oivecha yishtach v'lecha b'nei b'avicha. Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Ches. He said, Yehuda, Ata, you, Yehuda. He said the word Ata, you, in a very relaxing way. Don't worry, relax, it's okay. Says Rashi over there. Right, he was Yehuda was nervous that he didn't want to get that tochacha. The Kor Yaakov bedavar ratzua, Yehuda, lo ata kemosam. You, Yehuda, don't worry, you're not like your other brothers, you're different. So what's pshat? You're so different. What was the okay, so what happened? You're so different, and therefore what? Therefore, he was zochet to actually a very special bracha. Says the Medrash Rabbah, Tzadi Ches Vav. Amreb Shimon Bar Yochai, the Halig of Rashbi. You kol achecha nikrin al shimcha. All of your brothers will be called by your name. What does that mean? Exactly. Ich Adam Omer Reuveniana. How a person going to say I'm a Reuveni, I'm a Shimoni, I'm a Shimoni? No. Ella Yehudiana. I am a Yehudi. I'm a Jew. I'm a Yid. The bracha that he was zocha to, that every person Yehuda, that was going to be the identity. That's how Jews were going to define themselves. His bracha that what is that? We are called Jews and not Reubens or Simons or Levi's.
This was the king, no?
Of course, for sure, but much greater than that. Hazihuy Yehudi, she said, "Kilu kol Yehudi." Every Jew is going to call himself what? A Jew, a Yehudi. Who decided all of a sudden? No, wait, it shouldn't have just been everyone's. I'm Israeli. Rather, what? No, Yehudi. Where do we find this exactly? Where's the most classic example? Mordechai. Even. What does it say? What does it say, Mordechai, in the pasuk? What shevet was Mordechai from? Binyamin. Beautiful. Says the pasuk, Ish Yehudi Haya Mishushana Bira, who Mordechai Shmo. Mordechai was what? He was from Sheva Binyamin, but rather what? He was an Ish Yehudi. He was a Yid, he was a Jew. It sounds weird looking back in retrospect, like what else would we have been called? Like, what, if you're saying Judaism, wouldn't be called Judaism? Jewish people? Yid? As the Nazis called people of the Holocaust, Yudin? It would have been something else. The question is, what did Yehuda even do, though, in order to merit that the identity of the Jewish people was that what they were being, that they were going to be called Jews, Yehudim? Could be, but says the Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, says that what the pshat is it was because of Leah. Leah had special Hakaras HaTov. How do we know this? Earlier in Sefer Bereishis, we're trying to connect almost all Sefer Bereishis together. Says this is the last week of Sefer Bereishis, and Baruch Hashem, we're able to finish the whole Sefer Bereishis together as a chabura. That's a tremendous accomplishment. That it says in Perek Chav Hey, Perek Chav Tes in Parshas Vayetze Pasuk Lamed Hey. After she ends up giving birth to a fourth son. And the pasuk says, "Vatar od vatele ben, vatomer apam ode es Hashem al kein karshmo Yehuda vatamo vatamo miledes." Thank you, Hashem. Ode Hashem. Chav Tesla min hey. So therefore, therefore she called him Yehuda, from lashon of hoda, of thanks. What was she thanking him for? Says Rashi, "Hapam ode shenatalti yoter mechalki me'ata yeshli lehodos." Now what? What exactly happened now? I have a greater portion. I received greater than that which I was entitled to. She received the fourth son already. Initially, probably there was the vision of the four of Yaakov having four wives. So it would only be fair, it would be 3, 3, 3, 3. Therefore, the fact that she received the fourth, all of a sudden, whoa! All of a sudden, she's now entitled to, and she's getting more than her actual portion. And this idea is so important. Of the Midah of Hakaras HaTov, specifically to the Ribono Shalom. The fact that we're supposed to thank the Ribono Shalom for everything that he does for us. Every detail. Sometimes it's hard because we don't really see Yad Hashem. And we spoke about last week. We don't necessarily see Yad Hashem in every aspect of our life. It's not so revealed. There isn't such a great Gilui. Rather, it's very, very Nistat. It's very Nistar. It's very hidden sometimes. But we have to understand every detail. We say Vizokas they have also the Kone Hakol. Hashem created everything. From the smallest kippa they're wearing on your head to the entire world, all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's important to thank him for that. The idea of thanks is just so important. So there's a word from Rav Huttner. It says that what's the pshat? Thanks is we say in Hebrew, Todah Rabbah. Lehodot, hoda. What's the pshat? It's the same. What's the same meaning of hoda? Doesn't just mean thanks. Hoda also means what? What else could it mean? Hoda, when a person's moda, he's either thanking, or a person is moda that what? What? Admitting exactly, we find sugyas, right, the famous sugya of Hodas Bal Eidim Kimei Eidim Dam. Person admits, so says Rav Hutner, what's the pshat? When a person thinks, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person thinks someone else, he's admitting, thank you. I'm admitting, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish this. I would not have been able to receive this. I would not have been able to enjoy this. And I'm admitting that it was because of you, ultimately my needs were fulfilled. So these were just three ideas tonight in terms of A, connecting to greatness, different ways in terms of connecting to the Gedolei Torah in this generation. B, how the importance of Amelus is very important for us, and both emphasizing that, and there's Amelus and also Menucha, meaning that the ultimate Menucha is the ultimate spiritual Menucha of enjoyment and pleasure is done through Amelus B'Torah. And three is the idea of Hakaras HaTov, how important it is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single thing that he does for us day in and day out. Have a great night.